This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and joining me is a true renaissance man. He is also an author. He is also a student of the game, as it were, as they say. He is also a doting grandfather. He is also an author, as I mentioned. He is also an entrepreneur. He is a loving husband and a fantastic father, a terrific skier, Eddie Papowski's number one fan, and also a baseball awards presenter. A lot of superlatives today for this man. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. He is Mr. Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you, sir?
Thank you, Jay. As always, I'm taking you everywhere I go now, now that I'm speaking almost once a week out in the road. So thank you. And just for to start briefly before I introduce today's guest, Peter Jackham, that a pause a little bit to talk about Tom Walton. Tom was my corporate fitness coach, was a high school teacher and coach at Concord High School and other schools in the area for 30 years, and then was a fitness and runner coach for his last 20 years, and he died tragically. So we've been putting on a number of events for him, and the outpouring for him has been terrific. And I know, J-Dog, you knew him, so you know what I'm talking about. So,
yep, I do.
So, running friends, if you're listening to this, you can actually head over to NHCI. And if you're listening to this on March 11th, and there's a race over there in Tom's honor. But today's guest is Peter Jackham, who's the president and CEO of Ringler Associates, a terrific organization, and another radio personality, if you will. Jack Heath introduced Peter and myself together. And Peter, this is a fascinating story. So tell us first a little bit about Ringler Associates, and then we'll talk about, then get into your specific career. Because I found this so fascinating, because I just love the, you know, some of the mantras, the six interlocking rings, about the founders and our success is our people. A lot of the things, you know, that we aspire as well at Northeast Delta Dental. But tell us about Ringler Associates, and then about yourself.
Thank you, Tom. And my condolences on the loss of your tragedy of your colleague.
Thank you.
Ringler Associates is the largest structured settlement broker in the United States. And the way we use the term structured settlement, it means something very specific. In the case of an injured person in a tort case, there'll be different parties involved. There'll be a property casualty company that will usually pay the claim and meet the liability. There'll be defense counsel related to the case. There'll be plaintiff's counsel. And very often there'll be a Ringler broker, a Ringler associate. And what that broker will do is find the most efficient payment stream to meet the needs of that individual. And it could be somebody who can't work for a long period of time. It could be something as tragic as missing limbs. And rather than taking just a lump sum settlement from the insurance company, we'll work very carefully with life insurance companies to end up with a structured stream of payments to meet the needs of that individual over their lifetime. And that is more complicated than would be a typical annuity. It's very important to us that when we do that work, we're working with the strongest insurance companies in the United States. So our typical life insurance companies that we'll work with would include Pacific Life, New York Life, USAA in Texas, New York Life, Prudential. And on the property casualty side, we work very closely with Liberty Mutual, for example, in New England, and then AIG and really many others. The company motto for some years now, after we rebranded, is everybody wins. And what that's intended to signify is that what we try to do is to do well by doing good and find optimum solutions in what are in some cases very difficult circumstances for the parties involved. I'm also really pleased to say that we have our annual meeting coming up here soon. And we're going to note that next year is going to be our 50th anniversary. And I have a lot of experience in investment banking and looking at the stock market. And if you look at, say, the components of the Dow, there aren't many that have been around for 50 years. So It's very unusual for a distributor-driven organization like this to have that much history, and we're really quite proud of it.
Excellent. Now, you've been on the board of Ringler, and by the way, it's ringlerassociatesoneword.com. You've been on the board since, I think, 2016, and you've been interim president CEO for a few years. So tell us about what it was like going from the board to being the chief executive officer, and then backfill your career prior to 2016.
Well, it was a new experience for me, although fortunately, having been on the board, and the board is really very active in understanding the company, I really understood the company very well. But the board asked me to step in as president and CEO, which I was able to do really very quickly. But, you know, as you point out, that was an unusual experience for me. Most of my career has been in investment banking and asset management, but almost all the insurance companies. So that I have a lot of experience in working with insurance companies, but never actually working as an operating manager in one of them. But fortunately, I knew the management team well. I knew all the functions. I had been very much involved with them in areas like finance, product development, relationships with the life insurance companies. And it was it's been, I think, a very fruitful transition. One of the things that made it easier, and I know that, you know, one of your areas of focus, Tom, is on crisis management and a little bit of a crisis stepping in. And one of the things that made it easier was coming out of COVID, we had really gone to almost a virtual company. In fact, I think our headquarters is really, increasingly, it's really meaningless in terms of how we do our business. So that it was very easy to use Microsoft Teams, other methods, and you know, really get right into it without missing any time.
Awesome. So you started to talk about, but tell us in a little bit more detail what the structured settlement business is all about.
Well, you know, as I was saying, basically we're finding solutions for people who need a stream of payments over a period of time. And we've come through a rough period until just this year, because what really drives that business from an economic standpoint is, you know, one of the key rules of finance, the time value of money, that if you, you know, give somebody a lump sum of money now, they can structure a stream of payments that are going to be worth that much more. And if you take something like a 20-year stream of payments and say that, you know, we're talking about a 5% interest rate environment, the total amounts are going to be, you know, something like double. And that is very compelling in dealing, you know, with the courts or with an injured party. Right now, with the way that interest rates have gone up, that's very favorable for our business. But honestly, if you went back even 2 years ago, the business was much more difficult because we really didn't have that much return, because obviously the life insurance companies just couldn't provide it with a lower level of interest rates. So that in some ways, structured settlements in that period became almost more of a cash management function, and it really didn't have that much of a return. So ironically, when a lot of businesses are badly affected by, you know, the current inflationary environment, we're in some ways a beneficiary, because that higher level of interest rates really makes the structured settlement area, you know, that much more effective. The other thing that's really helped us has been the volatility in the stock market. You know, again, if you went back 18 months ago and near the end of COVID, stock market had a great run thanks to the actions of the Fed. After that, you know, we've had the serious declines. We've had a lot more volatility. What looked like a sure thing is much less of a sure thing. So that stable stream of payments that we can provide to somebody through the structured settlement really looks very attractive now, you know, relative to any other alternatives.
Great. So as you mentioned, technically your headquarters are in California, although, as you said, post-COVID in a sort of our hybrid model, virtual model, it's less important. So how important is New Hampshire and Maine to your business from nationally?
It's very important to us. We have one of our top brokers, Peter Early, is in New Hampshire. And his father, who was actually longstanding member of Ringler, going back almost to the founding, is also in New Hampshire. And then through New England, we have relationships with the large insurance companies. Liberty Mutual is a very important relationship for us. And our business tends to run kind of in line with where the population is, as you'd expect, because we're mostly dealing with, obviously torts cases. And those are going to align pretty closely with population centers. So I would say that looking at our national business and with Peter Early in New Hampshire, it probably has kind of outsized importance relative to some of the other states, just because of some of the activity that that he's able to do. And we're very much we have a lot of people in Connecticut. We very much think of ourselves in some ways as a New England company. New England's very important to us.
So let's start on this question, and then we'll probably expand on it after the break. But your colleagues must, in these situations, must really face really tough, agonizing, real life, difficult situations. And so what's their training like, to deal with that? Obviously, maybe just hold your answer, be thinking about it. But I'm thinking that, in these situations, they must face some really, really sad situations, that they have to address. And of course, one thing I've learned with my work with Veterans Count, even with all of the, sad situations that exist, life goes, life still goes on, the roof still leaks, the car payments have to be made. And that can actually exacerbate, the dilemma that's before the person. But in any event, Jay, I know I find this, I know I'm an insurance person, but I do find this fascinating. How about you?
I know I absolutely do, because we're not just talking about, because you're dental insurance, right? And Peter here is, of course, just overall insurance and annuities and things of that sort. So talking about that, especially in a time of a pandemic that we had and having to, as you mentioned, the hybrid of California, New England, offices everywhere, that kind of thing, having to kind of model how to handle a crisis such as a pandemic. So we'll talk more about that and a whole lot more with Peter Jockim. He is the CEO of Ringler Associates. RinglerAssociates.com is the website to learn a lot more. And when we return, we'll have more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio right here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am Jay Dog, alongside Tom Raffio, President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And this week's guest is Peter Jockim. He is the CEO of Ringler Associates. And we're talking insurance. We're not just talking about insurance. We're talking a lot more about insurance. And I'll let you both have the floor the rest of the way.
Thanks, Jay. And Peter, believe it or not, people, they've gotten to get to know me through 13 years of this program, they have learned that insurance is actually fun. So don't worry about it. But on a more serious note, so when you're faced with this kind of structural settlements and whatever, I mean, the actual situation, must sometimes be horrifying. So how do your employee, your associates deal with that?
Well, it's a very good insight. And you were also asking before the break about the training and the characteristics that are needed for this business. And I would say that there are really three key attributes. One of them is technical expertise, and that's largely, honestly, really learned on an apprenticeship basis, where one of our young brokers will be working with somebody else and learn the details of a structured settlement. How do you approach the life markets? What are the best ways that you can structure for a particular situation? The next element that I think is really important is fundamental empathy, the ability to really understand the situation, recognize the difficult situation, and be able to think about what the person really needs, what their broader financial needs are, rather than just the stream of payments. And the third thing that I would point to is patience, because very often for our brokers, and they're, like most producers, they really want to get things done and they want to see things happen. But very often they need to sit in a mediation and, you know, be with the defense lawyers, the plaintiff's lawyers, and the and their 5 minutes, the most important thing for them, can be at the end of a four-hour session. And they need to be, you know, reading the room and understanding what everybody's needs are, and then in a short time coming up with a solution that that best meets those requirements. But, you know, far and away, I think the technical aspects can be learned. But I think that sense of emotional intelligence, empathy, understanding a situation in the broadest context and coming up with a solution, I think that's really the key factor in success in this business.
Yeah, I love your response to EI, the emotional intelligence, empathy, you know, in a trying time for, you know, for the client. Obviously, it goes without saying that, you know, the person needs that, you know, expertise, so can make the right recommendation. But for the client to also engender the trust, I think that's where the empathy and the patience, you know, comes in. So loved your answer there. So getting back, you were talking before the break about the fact that, you know, many of your associates are now working remotely, and the quote unquote, the headquarters has less meaning, and including, you know, in our own company here, you know, we still, you know, we still have about 70 people come in and 120 people, you know, working from home. So, you know, that type of pivoting and so forth is going on. So what is, if you took your entire company, like, what's the breakdown and how are you addressing, you know, is it, you know, obviously to meet with clients, I'm sure there are Zooms and Microsoft Teams, but there's still a need for in-person meetings. So how have you put that all together?
Well, the in-person meetings are coming back in terms of the trials and the mediations. With regard to Ringler's direct employees and the work that we do within Ringler, apart from the producers going out to the mediations, that is now almost 100% Microsoft Teams. That's what we use instead of Zoom. But I think it's a challenge for a lot of us, and particularly for some of our old line producers. In my career, apart from Ringler, I spent almost all my time in personal meetings with executives working on capital raising and M&A, and very little of that was actually done over the computer. And it's the same with our Ringler producers. Most of them developed a skill set that was really based on being in the room with people and presenting to them. So we're, like many American companies, we're in a transitional period right now. And I think they're going to be, I think things will happen. I think people will get back to in-person meetings because, you know, honestly, I think regardless of age or business, we all crave that. I think that's part of the reason that we're actually in the business world. And we'll also find new technological solutions to some of the things that we're doing. And right now is a, you know, right now is a dynamic transitional period, I think, for that kind of activity. And I think it is a challenge, especially for people that have developed a, you know, a real skill set that's based on personal meetings.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think we're going to find that balance because, you know, we've learned through the process. I mean, a lot of our, you know, open enrollment stuff that we do now, a lot of that is now done virtually. But like you said, I mean, the in-person meetings are coming back and people still want you to visit, you know, the HR team. So there's a, you know, a face-to-face meeting. So I think we'll definitely find that balance. But getting back to March of 2020, when we were all given the edict, you know, that, you know, everybody needs to work from home. How quickly were you able to pivot, given, you know, in our case, we had, as you know, from reading my crisis book, you know, we had planned for the pandemic. So we changed on a dime and everybody had the right stuff at home and the customer service team had the right phone system so we could continue the call centers in a distributed way from home. So but we had the advantage, you know, that we're all, you know, there's only 225 of us, right, you know, most of us right here in Concord, New Hampshire. So that must have been a lot more complex and difficult for you. So how did you pivot, just kind of looking back to March of 2020?
From a system standpoint, we had a really kind of a natural, robust quality to what we're doing because, you know, we have our producers, we have the brokers, and they're working nationwide, and they all had their own equipment. And that equipment had been tested. So their ability to communicate, the ability to get quotes, reach the life insurance companies, all that was just fine. And it was really the same for all the headquarters people. The challenge really became, because so much of our activity is related to the courts, mediation, settlements, that really came grinding to a halt in March 2020. And it took a while until people started to find other solutions to that. And in addition, thanks to the the Fed and the economic conditions at the time, we had very low interest rates that were really a concern for structured settlements. So it was a challenging period. It did present its own set of crisis management, but at the same time, Tom, very similar to what you had done with Delta Dental, we did do quite a bit of planning so that our systems were robust. And I'm a fan of the author Nassim Nicholas Taleb, and he wrote a book called Anti-Fragility about how some companies and some systems can actually be strengthened under stress. And I think this is one of those crises that tested us, and we were in good enough shape that we had a certain robust quality in the middle of the crisis. And even, sort of an anti-fragility that coming out of this, just because we had the right systems in place, we even had a little bit more market share, right now than we might've had at the beginning of the crisis.
That's great to hear. Now that is that anti-fragility book is definitely awesome. I think you mentioned this before. So the economic environment now, of course, with, obviously higher inflation and a difference in interest rate. How do those the current economic conditions change the techniques on settlements?
I don't think it really changes the technique so much as it limits the alternatives.
Gotcha.
So that if the if the lawyers are in the room and the the person who's receiving the tort settlement is in the room, where a couple of years ago they might have said there's just really no return on this, and I can do so much better in the stock market, and there are all these other things that I'd like to be able to do with the money. Now the stock market is not looking quite as strong, at least from a volatility standpoint, and the rates that people can receive on even just a federal money market fund, much less a structured settlement, are much higher. So it comes out as a really strong alternative. And when our brokers are able to point that out and work through the structure, that becomes really the best possible thing that somebody can do. Now, there's another factor that people don't really focus on necessarily that I think it's important. And some of the life insurance companies, the product providers, are also working on this. And that is, how do we preserve the purchasing power of that settlement stream? So it's great if there's a built-in interest rate. But the other problem with it is that, as we had earlier this calendar, in the past 12 months, if inflation's running 9% and you're really getting, 4% on the structure, over the life of it, if that 9% were to hold, you're 5% in the hole in terms of getting your purchasing power. And another way to look at it with that 9%, just in terms of the economy as a whole, if somebody's getting paychecks 12 times a year, it's like they lost one of those paychecks, just the way the math works. So the importance of inflation to preserving purchasing power of that stream is something that we really need to work on in this market environment.
So I hope people, I've so enjoyed this. RingleAssociates.com, we didn't have time to get to it, but thank you, by the way, for your interest in my book, Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive. And I know from what I know of your company, you use many of the same, techniques of, of planning and pivoting that we use. And also that I was glad to see that, you understand that mindfulness can be applied into the business world. And that's another one of my books. So I really appreciate that. And I'm glad our good friend Jack Heath made the connection for us, and I'm sure we'll have you on again. Again, it's RingleAssociates.com, and Peter did a great job of explaining this. So most people don't realize, Jay, that insurance is actually exciting. Peter and I make insurance exciting.
Absolutely. And I want to thank Peter Jackham, Ringler Associates, ringlerassociates.com, for this week's guest on Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I am J-Dog alongside Tom Raffio, and we'll have another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio next week here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.